The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
On a Wednesday night, and then I did it on a Sunday morning, trying to get all the questions in. And so there was an array of different questions turned in. I don't know. I had Rebecca to type those up for me, and I'm not looked at how many there is, but I know there's a bunch of them. This was one of them. How do I handle my personal hurt? And I thought, well, this would be really good. And so we're studying questions and answers, truth from the Bible. When you go through personal hurt, and by the way, you will go through personal hurt, there's not a person under heaven that is not going to face some type of personal hurt. I thought about that. I thought about Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 18, the Bible says, and here's Jeremiah questioning the Lord. I said this most recently in a Sunday night message. There's nothing wrong with questioning the Lord as long as you don't expect him to be put on trial and have to give you an answer. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, well, God, I don't understand this, or why did this happen? But you cannot put God on the spot. If God doesn't want to give you an answer, he's not going to give you an answer. That's all it is to it. You can't bring God down to your thinking. You have to take your thinking up to where God is. But here Jeremiah is. He says, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, as waters that fail? Now here's what happens in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19. The Lord's going to talk back to him, and the Lord's going to say unto him, hey, if thou will return, and I will bring thee again. And he's saying how he wants to use him as a mouthpiece for him. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 20, the Bible says, and I will make thee unto the people, it says, a fence, brazen wall. The Bible says, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will deliver thee out of the hand of the terrible. And so here, Jeremiah is getting his answer. Now you have to understand, Jeremiah is in suffering. Jeremiah is in pain. Things are not going the way that he thought that they would go. He is grieving, if you will, over the fact that as he is preaching against sin, as he is trying to help people and trying to lead them the right direction, they're not doing it. And his heart begins to break, and he has the burden and the pain, and it seems overwhelming to a degree. And then as a preacher, you know, he gets caught up in his tears and trying to comfort the people, but it's just not working. And then oftentimes what happens is you'll see that people need help. And by the way, sometimes people need help at the strangest hours. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I get woke up at 12 or 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, have to make a hospital run or to be able to help somebody. But people's hurts are real. Somebody has to be there to try to help catch their tears when somebody dies. And maybe that will also be you. When somebody's involved in an accident, you hurt for them. When somebody has a child that goes out on drugs, you hurt for them. If you care about them, you hurt for them. When somebody has a child that maybe starts drinking alcohol, you begin to hurt for them. Or a young couple that's trying to make it as they establish their business and they have to file bankruptcy, you hurt for them. Or even when people go to the dentist and they have to face the dentist, and fear fills their heart, and you may hurt for them. Or somebody that suffers a stroke, you may hurt for them. Or somebody has a broken heart, or somebody's been diagnosed with cancer. If you care about someone, you will hurt for them. Jeremiah preached. He tried to help them to get right with God and to overcome their personal wickedness. And he warned them over and over, you know, judgment is going to come. And they just would not listen. And because of that, hurt begins to fill his heart. Now, let me give you a couple things to think on. You know, what causes hurt? Where does hurt come from? Well, sometimes hurt is that which is a self-induced hurt. Sometimes hurt is something that we bring upon ourselves. Now, that's not saying that you're weak, and that's not saying that you're not right with God. Sometimes people hurt because they have a tender heart. Sometimes people hurt because they truly, genuinely, deep down inside, care about people. You know, living life, you'll pass through many hurts. But sometimes when you pass through a hurt, if you're not careful, you'll live in that hurt. Because you always bring that hurt. Those past hurts come back, and you allow them to come back to hurt you. Sometimes vicariously, we have hurt induced. Know what I mean? Well, we take the suffering and the hurt of someone else. We begin to hurt vicariously for someone else. Example, somebody says something that's a hurtful word to your friend, and you don't even know if it hurt them, but you hurt for them because you feel like that word could have hurt them. Well, that is suffering vicariously for them. Maybe somebody has actions towards your friend or your loved one, and you vicariously hurt for them. Maybe there's some misunderstandings, and you vicariously hurt for them. Statement number three, sometimes God, there's God-given hurt. Sometimes there's God-given hurt. Job had that. Job chapter 13 and verse 15, the Bible says, though he, talking about the Lord, slay me, yet will I trust him. That was a God-given hurt. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, for which cause we faint not, but it says, though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Listen, now this is Paul talking. He's telling you about some hurt that he's gone through. He says in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen, eternal. And so he's beginning to talk about his hurt, but he looks at hurt in a different fashion. Here's the way Paul looked at it. I'll remind you, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, for our light affliction. Now, can you imagine that, if you will? He suffered a night and a day in the deep. He was beaten by his own countrymen. He was robbed by thieves. He almost died starving to death. I mean, he went through many, many, many difficult times in his life. And then he looks back at all those difficult times in his life, and here's what he says about those difficult times in his life. He said, for our light affliction. He looked at all the hurts as a light affliction. So let's see some things. How can I get some relief? How can I get some hope? I talk to people all the time on the phone. I give a lot of counsel over the phone, and people call me, and I'm able to help them get through some trials and get through some hurt. Well, let's look at it. You know, everyone, statement number one, everyone suffers hurt, so you're not alone. Everyone suffers hurt, so you're not alone. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, the Bible says, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So you're not alone. So when you go through hurtful times, you don't face them by yourself. I'm not making light of your hurt. I'm just telling you really how it is. There is people that lived before you. There are people, been there, got the t-shirt. There are people. Whatever you're facing in your life, you're not the only one that's ever faced it. You're not the only one that ever will face it. After you're dead and gone, somebody else is going to face it, no matter what it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, there's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, I don't know why, but as I was a younger Christian and I read that verse, I don't know if it's because of a movie I saw or what, but I had this ideology that here you're being over flooded by the ocean waters of despair and hurt. And yet, the water started coming into the submarine. But thankfully, there was a way to be able to open the door on the top of the submarine and escape. Now, can I tell you, no matter how much you feel surrounded by hurt, there's always going to be a way to escape. Here's what we understand, that saved people hurt, but lost people do too. Rich people hurt, so does poor people. Intelligent people hurt, so does ignorant people. Organized people hurt, but so does unorganized people. Positive people hurt, but so does negative people. Hopeful people hurt, but so does doubtful people. What I'm saying is that everyone suffers hurt, so you're not alone. Statement number two, our Heavenly Father knows your hurt. Our Heavenly Father knows your hurt. I don't know how many times, that our children would get hurt. They called it a boo-boo. The reason they called it a boo-boo is because we called it a boo-boo. The reason we called it a boo-boo, I don't know if Sylvia's parents called them boo-boos or not, but my mama called them boo-boos. Can I tell you what? I don't know if my mama's mama called them boo-boos, but she said that she did. And here's what would happen. All of a sudden, when our children would get a boo-boo, they would come running in, and they would be crying, sometimes in a hysterical way. And they'd be crying, and they would say, "Oh, Daddy, 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 I got a boo-boo." I'd say, "Oh, come here, come here. We'll take care of that boo-boo." And so they'd come over to me, and I'd get them on my knee, and I'd pray for them. And once I prayed for them, they'd settle down, and they'd look at me, and they'd say, "It's not that bad, is it?" And I, you know, even though they didn't have a finger left, I'd say, "No, it's not that bad at all." Now, can I say, listen, I'm saying this, that your Heavenly Father, that's why it's good to point your children to the Lord when they go through hurt. Why? Because one day you may be absent when a hurt takes place in their life. So if you point your children to the Lord, He is the one that can help to heal. By the way, isn't that our job? Our job is not to attach our children to us so much that if we were to die, they are hopeless. Our job is to attach our children to the Lord. Why? So that when we die, their hope always lives on. And so we understand that our Heavenly Father knows your hurt. Your hurt does not go unnoticed. And there's several verses that points to this, but your hurt does not go unnoticed. I'm talking about by your Heavenly Father. It doesn't go unhurt. Unnoticed or unheard of. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29, the Bible says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them, watch this, shall not fall to the ground without your Father." Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, the Bible says, "And the very hairs on your head are all numbered." Verse 31, the Bible says, "Fear not therefore." It says, "Ye are more value," it says, "than many sparrows." So what's he saying? He said, look, if God is noticing the sparrow that falls out of the nest and falls to the ground, if God notices every hair that's on your head, don't you think God's also going to notice when there's times, if you will, that you go through hurt? Well, sure he will. Statement number next, our Lord is touched by our infirmities. Touched by our infirmities. You ever walk by one of your children's door at night and they're crying and they're praying for something? Don't you have the urge to help them to stop crying and also to help that prayer to be answered? Well, if you love your children, you do. You see, our Heavenly Father is touched by our infirmities. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, "For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin." So he has gone through everything that you have gone through, I have gone through. He has been touched by those infirmities. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "And let us come boldly," that's not brassly, it's boldly, "let us come boldly onto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." The word boldly, what that's talking about, if you would please, is talking about plain speech. It's talking about coming in, if you will, and being you. When I was a young preacher, I heard people get up to pray and they talked to God like he was some foreign entity. "Dear Father, thou know that I love thee. Thou art my mighty God. And I know that thou hast the power to save me and to save this nation from all the troubles that thou sees." It was the thous, and I know in our Bible, and they're not hard to understand, but you don't normally talk to people that way. I don't greet you out in the hallway, "How art thou?" We don't normally talk that way today, all right? So God says, "I want you to come to me." And by the way, come boldly. Don't be ashamed to come to him and ask. Oh, I remember when I was in Bible college, I said, "Now, God, you're the one that put me in Bible college. And God, I simply obeyed you. Now, I think that both you and me have a problem. Because I obeyed you, and now they're charging me because I obeyed you. Now, I'm simple, but I'll be honest with you, God, that don't make a lick of sense to me. Because that means these bills are not my bills. These bills are our bills. First off, you sent me. Second off, I obeyed. That means we're in partnership together. And I don't think it'd be quite fair, God, if I keep my end of the deal and you shirk on yours. So with these bills, I expect you to keep your end of the bargain. You pushed me and I went. That means I expect you to pay also." And did you know amazingly God paid my way through college? Did you know amazingly I was never late on a bill? Did you know amazingly people would, I'd go off to maybe speak somewhere or something like that, or all of a sudden somebody had been saying, "I've been praying for you," and they'd send me, $100, $200, $300, $400, $500 in the mail or whatever. You say, what is that? That's a partnership with God. That's what that is. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that he is touched with our infirmities. Statement number next. You must consider asking the right people for help. If you need a shoulder to lean on, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Don't be so pious. Don't be so proud that you can't ask somebody for help. One of the first people I think you ought to go to is your spouse. Because you see, you're one. And if half of you hurts and the other doesn't know that the other half is hurting, that's not a good union. I think you ought to have a good relationship with your spouse and be honest with them. Talk to your spouse and say, "Honey, this bothers me. This is hurting me on the inside. Can you give me some words of wisdom? Can you pray with me?" All right? And so I'm saying you must consider asking the right people. Ask your parents. Those of you that are younger, ask your parents. Say, can you help me with this? Can you help me to understand? Ask your parents. Statement number next. Ask your pastor. Ask your pastor. Don't run from these people. Run to them. Ask a friend. Now, make sure it's a safe friend. Make sure it's somebody knows the Bible. Make sure somebody can give you good counsel. Ask a spiritual leader. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways." Now watch it. "And be wise." So God says you go to that one that's already making progress. You study them and you'll see how to be wise yourself. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end." Ask questions. Statement number next. No one can help you like God, but you have to ask him. You have to ask him. You know, the deepest relationship I believe in all my life that you ought to have in all of your life is your relationship with God. Because when you have your relationship with God the way it should be, then all of the wisdom of God will rest at your fingertips. When you have a relationship with God the way that you should, you'd be able to help your spouse a whole lot better, your kids a whole lot better, friends and family members, people in the community a whole lot better. Why? Because God's the creator of all. Are we not reminded in Revelation where the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? God owns everything, this earth. For the person that says, well, no, he doesn't. He doesn't own me. One day they'll find out different. May I say he should be the first one on your list. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. When somebody comes to me and their mind is not stayed in the right direction, in other words, they come to me and they say, I don't have perfect. The word perfect means mature. They don't have mature peace. Mature peace. And we all should desire mature peace. All right? And the older you get, the more you understand the difference between peace and a mature peace. But the Bible says here, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Somebody comes to me and they say, I'm having trouble about getting peace this way. I said, what are you thinking on? What are you thinking on? Well, I'm thinking on this, that, and the other. Well, if you're not thinking on the one that can give, the one, the who that can give you peace, no wonder you don't have peace. Anybody can think on their troubles enough that their troubles will become their personal enemy. But when you think on the one that can be able to help you, he gives you peace in the midst of the storm, does he not? And that is exampled over and over through the Bible. Because he trusteth in thee. All right, so what do you do? How do you do that? Well, we understand this. We understand that we should put him first on our list. Statement number next, we should seek him through prayer. Seek him through prayer. Now, here's some verses that would be helpful to you. Ready? Matthew chapter 11. We're talking about how can I handle the hurt? Seek him through prayer. Here it is. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. The Bible says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he says, come unto me. Now, what's he say? He says, come unto me. You have to come to him. Because if you don't come to him, you don't get the rest. First you come, then you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find, here it is, rest unto your souls. All right? So what's he saying? He's saying, yoke of, I've given the illustration so many times that it'll make you think I'm silly if I give it again. But isn't it true? If you take just a little coat and you put that little coat in that which is a yoke with a full-grown quarter horse, who carries most of the weight? The quarter horse does. The coat feels hardly anything at all. Matter of fact, we'd probably just try and keep up. All right, the quarter horse. Well, God is your quarter horse. I'm not being disrespectful in any way, but he's a whole lot bigger than you are. He can handle problems a whole lot better than you can. Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Wells, who I am. Yes, I do. That's how come I said he's a whole lot bigger than you are. And he can handle problems a whole lot better than you. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30, the Bible says, here he's speaking. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All right, James chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Can I run through the scenario? Let me do it real quick. I went to Bible college. I just got done working a rodeo. I had snakeskin boots on. They were gray. Had blue jeans on. Had my rodeo buckle. Big rodeo buckle. Flannel shirt, cowboy hat, long hair. Go to Bible college. I said, I'm here to get in. And they said, we can help you. They'll take you where you need to be. I thought it was a different building. I got back in the car. They took me down to a rescue mission. And they said, here's where you go. I said, you're nuts. I said, I didn't come to get in there. I came to come to Bible college. They said, you're kidding? I said, no, I'm not kidding. Take me back. They said, I said, take me back. They took me back. Now, wait a minute. I didn't look like any of those fellas. I did not look like any of those. I probably didn't even smell like any of those fellas. I got in Bible school, and the first time I went to a Bible college class, they all had suits on. I didn't even have one of those. They all had suits on. So what'd you wear when you was an altar boy? One of those things you put over your clothes. What do you call it? A robe or whatever. And so I wore that. So you didn't have to have no tie or nothing. And so anyway, here I was. I showed up in Bible school, and I prayed. Oh, man, did I pray. All these fellows had suits, and I wanted to fit in. So I prayed. I said, God, now look. You and I are in this together. I remind him of that all the way through school. I said, you and I are in this thing together. And when I volunteered and I said I'd obey you, I don't expect you to turn your back on me. We're in this together. You see, you talk to God that way. Well, he's my father. And so I said, you know, don't forsake me now. Help me with this. And I said, would you please give me a suit? And he sure did. I think he knew what he was doing. Matter of fact, the Bible tells me he knows what he's doing. And he gave me a suit. The ugliest suit you ever saw in your life. I think he's laughing in heaven. He gave me a bright pea green suit. Some of you are a little bit older. You remember the days when the suit would come with two pair of pants. You remember that? And a reversible vest. You remember that? And a reversible jacket. You got two for one. I wore that, and the next day they snickered and they laughed, and I thought, they must like it. And I found out they were making fun of me. Well, that hurt my feelings a little bit. That's why I'm teaching on this. I'm finally getting over bitterness. And so they hurt my feelings a little bit. And so I thought, okay, I'll fix you up. I'm going to pray because, see, God, I already knew God's going to answer my prayer. I knew that. I said, now, Lord, that was a good one you pulled on me. You gave me a suit and it's pea green. Oh, I'm sure you laughed and they laughed and we all laughed, but I didn't think it was funny. I said, God, I'm praying specifically. I want a blue one, not a fluorescent blue one either. Within 3 days, God gave me a blue suit. I took that other suit back. I found that bird that was laughing so loud. The one that was going, ah! I said, I knew that you liked it because you were so jealous of it. God told me to give it to you. And I gave it to him. And now, wait a minute. I'm saying this. We have not because we ask not. I think, and I'll be honest with you, I really believe this. I believe that most of you could get more answered prayer if you just pray. I don't think the shortage is on God's end. I think the shortage is on our end. When's the last time you prayed for something and you got it? By the way, can I tell you, if it's been a long time, it's been too long. Well, I'm just handling life just fine as I am. You could have so much more, I do believe. I do believe God could bless you more. You trust Him more. Here's what we understand. We see this. We ought to seek Him. Pay attention to your notes. Seek Him through Bible principles. Seek Him through Bible principles. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. The Bible says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner. Now, what is a scorner? Anytime you go through the book of Proverbs and you see the word scorner, you can write critical person. That's what it's talking about. But a scorner heareth not rebuke. So a critical person, when you rebuke them, they're not going to hear it. That's what that verse says. Okay? All right, so everyone suffers hurt. So you're not alone. Our Heavenly Father knows your hurt. Statement number next. You must consider asking the right people to help. Statement number next. No one can help you like God, but think about this. You have to ask Him. Last statement I'll give you as far as an outline. That now I want you to get the rest of it right here, but let me give you this main part here. Statement number next. Find principles of direction. to help you make it through. Now watch this very carefully. You can underscore it if you so want to. And hold on to them. Hold on to them. So find principles of direction that will help you to make it through. Then hold on to them. You say, well, I don't feel good. There's going to be many days you don't feel good, but not feeling good is not an excuse for doing right. Well, you know, I'm not happy. Well, not being happy is not an excuse for not doing right. Amen. Well, I'm not full of joy. And not, all that stuff is, you know, don't be that way. Well, you give every excuse under heaven why you don't do right. Just do right. Old Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right till the stars fall. Just do right. Okay? So what do you hold fast to? Well, hold fast to your position of growth. Hold fast to your position of growth. Watch your notes. Revelation 3 and 3. The Bible says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. He says, hold fast and repent. All right? So hold fast to your position of growth. Hold fast to the things that you've received and the things that you have heard, and hold fast to them. Hold fast. I preached a whole message on these next four little things that I'm giving you right now. I said that when I was in elementary school, they had this big old round rope, and we were supposed to climb it up, and I started to climb it, and I felt like I couldn't do it. I started to back down, and the coach yelled at me, hold fast, hold on to that thing, don't you come back down. And boy, he just really challenged my heart and scared me half to death. So I held on to that rope, and then I got a little bit more energy, I got a little bit more strength. And I pulled myself up a little bit more, and I wanted to scurry back down. He said, get back up there. Don't you come down here. And he coached me. That's what he was doing, coaching me all the way up. But here's what happened. When I got to a certain level and I felt like I was weak, he instructed me, hold on. When you get to a certain level in your Christian growth and it seems like your faith is at a standstill, that's when you hold on. Don't digress. Hold on. Don't backslide. Hold on. Okay, don't get further away from the Lord. Just hold on. You'll get a burst of energy after a while, by and by, as God strengthens your faith. But if you don't hold on, you never will get your faith strengthened. I've seen many people get discouraged. They get out of church, and they never go back. I've seen many believers get discouraged. They lay their Bibles down and never pick them up again. I've seen many people say, well, I'll tell you what, God's not important anymore. I'm not going to prioritize him anymore. And they start dropping out of church here. They start dropping out of caring about others here. Before you know it, they're just like somebody's never been saved. You know what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. They didn't hold on. So you hold fast to your position of growth. Statement number next. Hold fast to your truth. Hold fast to your truth. 2 Timothy 1 and 13. The Bible says, hold fast to the form of sound words that thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So what's he say? Hold fast to sound words. Hold fast to that which you've heard of me. So once you get the truth, hold fast to it. Not just your position of growth, but a truth. A truth. The world is always going to be changing. Always going to be changing. It's changed every year. It's not going to be any different in your generation. All right, so hold fast to your truth. Statement number next. Hold fast to your profession. What is that? Well, that's witnessing your profession. Hebrews 10 and 23, the Bible says, and let us hold fast, it says, the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. All right, so let us hold fast to that profession. Hold fast, if you would please, your profession of faith, your witnessing, your soul winning. Hold fast to it. Don't ever let it dry up. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'll be glad I'm saved when I'm 102. I'll still be glad I'm saved. I might not remember it, but I'll be glad I'm saved. All right? Then lastly, let me say this, okay? Hold fast to your boldness. Hold fast to your boldness. The word confidence here in this particular verse means that. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoice in the hope firm unto the end. That's talking about your boldness. So hold fast to your boldness. The older you get, the harder it is to be able to hold fast to some things that you used to be excited about. Then comes old-fashioned character. You just do it because you know it's the right thing to do. You might not get the zippity-zap type of feeling, but you just do it because you just know it's the right thing to do. Statement number last, and I'm done. Hold fast to your goodness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 21. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. If you've ever been good to anybody, hold fast to it. Don't let it slip. Be good to other people. Be kind to other people. Try to give somebody else a hand up, an encouragement. You know, my wife and I flew in. We left at the house at about 6 a.m. in Florida, and we made it, put the rental car back where it should have been, all in one piece. And then we made our way to the airport, boarded a plane, and started to come back. We arrived here, and the butlers were so kind to pick us up. We didn't have to walk. But they picked us up at the airport about 4-ish or so. Can I tell you this? There was bad weather here in Dallas. How do you know? Because I was stuck in Baltimore City, Maryland is why. Because we couldn't come to Dallas because of bad weather. And I watched people. You watch people, and you can tell if something gets under their skin. Why? Because, you know, it has to be on top before it goes under. And, boy, you could tell people getting antsy. Just getting antsy. Now, I didn't really care, you know. I mean, I knew I was going to get home eventually. I mean, I knew I'd make it home. I gave it plenty of time to be able to make it in for the Bible study. I finished the Bible study 2 days ago, so I knew that everything. Had a Bible study waiting on my desk, already printed out. Had a suit in my office. Had my shoes in my office. Had a tie in my office. Had everything in my office I needed. All I had to do is come in and jump in my pastor suit. I was going to say Superman suit. That one fit. I was going to say monkey suit, but that's a slap to me. So I'm not. So I came in and jumped in my pastor suit, and I was ready to roll. Now, but did you know I saw people in that airport? Oh, were they frustrated? I mean, they wanted to kill someone. Now, can I tell you, that's not the way it ought to be. We were driving around, got that rental car, and I drove around Jacksonville, Florida for a couple of days. And can I tell you, the traffic in Jacksonville, Florida is a little bit more milder. I felt like I was driving with grandparents everywhere I went. I mean, I'm used to sticking my nose in my vehicle in first and just edging in and just hoping that people think good of me after I do it. But down there, you just kind of like take your time. Everybody's just kind of, you know, it's like all of them got their seat reclined. I mean, wasn't nobody sitting up like this. Nobody. I mean, they're just all kind of reclining and just, you know, and I'm thinking, don't you people ever get in a hurry? But now, wait a minute. If we're not careful, we are that way individually to other people. Should it not be named once among us? Be patient with people. Be kind to people. Help people. Encourage people. Be there for people. And let people, if anybody's going to be stepped on, I'll give you closing illustration. I was working with Dr. C.R. Williams in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Oh, he had a cantankerous church member, always giving him trouble. And I said, preacher, let me take care of him. I won't do it in a mean way, but I'll put the guy in his place. Somebody's got to step up to him. It's a man, and put him in his place. And I think I just might be able to do that for you. Oh, he said, Brother Wells, don't you know anything? And I thought, uh-oh. He said, I came here for people to step over me because that's what the Lord would do. He said, so it's okay. It'll be all right. And I said, yes, sir. But if he steps on you too hard, you just let me know. And he said, I will. But I think we'll be all right. Now, can I tell you, you learn some things from older people. It's been around a while. You do. You learn to slow down a little bit. I make Brother Palmer could tell you. Well, all the staff guys, I guess, could tell you. He's been here longer. than anybody full-time on my assistant pastor's staff. But I'm a slow decision maker. Would you agree with that, Brother Palmore? I'm just as slow as can be. You say, why are you that way? Because when I was younger, I wasn't that way. And it'd be better to be too slow and make the right decision than to be too fast and make a dumb one. I've made enough of those in my lifetime. I'm saying this. I'm saying there's a way to overcome the hurt. Father, bless, we pray. Help us to examine ourselves. Help us to take some...
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.